Welcome to the Wanting It More podcast. I am your host, Jana Dentonhouse, and it's an absolute delight to have you here. I'm a marriage and intimacy educator, as well as a creator of the Wanting It More program, which has helped thousands of women who are married to men want and enjoy it more in the bedroom. You know, having low desire was something that I personally struggled with for years in my marriage, so I absolutely get it all. You are not alone. Just a heads up, I use all the words in this podcast, so if you've got little ears around or you're in a public setting, you may want to pop in some earbuds. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to the Wanting It More podcast. Today, I am joined by Laura. Laura is a graduate of Wanting It More, like most of my guests on this podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about topics around religion, spirituality, God, and how that intersects with sex and unlearning cultural stuff. So if that's something that interests you, please keep on listening. But I know it's not for everybody, and that is totally okay. We have lots of other episodes for you to listen to, but I think this one is going to be a good one. I'm really excited to talk to Laura about this topic. So before we get started, why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So I am from the Eastern Shore of the United States region, and I am 40 years old. I spent a career in working in healthcare, primarily focused on women's health. Until a couple of years ago, I left that field and have been focusing on managing my household and managing the businesses my husband and I have. So I thought that leaving a career would mean I was less busy, but I find that I am more busy than ever. And we have three kids that are amazing, a couple of furry kids too, because you always got to have that fun in the mix. And and my husband is actually my second husband. I have been married before, but my entire life has been very driven by my faith and my beliefs in God and Jesus as my savior.
Beautiful. Thanks, Laura. So take us back to your early days, growing up, and let us know what it was like in terms of your sexual education and first sexual experiences.
So going back, my mother was a true child of the 60s. She always said that she graduated in 1969 when Woodstock was happening. So very much the free love era. But funny enough, my mother did not have that open education herself. And so she was trying to do better by me, but didn't really know how to do that. So sex was something that it was talked about, but it was also not talked about, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, even when my mother would talk about periods, she was never told anything. She was just given products and said, you'll know what, when you need those and what they're for. So she tried to be more open with me, but she also, like, part of my education with that was, well, you can't use tampons until you have sex. So just a lot of, because she didn't know, she was doing the best with what she had, but I didn't really get a lot of education. My mother was unfortunately in several relationships throughout her life, and in a steady one when I was growing up, but even with that, it wasn't a marriage based on love. So when sex was brought up, it was kind of like an obligatory thing. You know, she was just fulfilling her obligations. So of course, then my mother kind of had her own path. She traveled when I was a teenager, and that led to me getting into my first relationship when I was still in my teenage years with someone who was decently older than me. And I always was a very independent person. And, you know, I prided myself on being this independent girl who could take care of herself. And so I jumped into a relationship with someone older, and so developed sexuality pretty early. I mean, not significantly early, but early enough based on that. But a lot of it was kind of figuring it out on my own and also being guided by somebody who had their own experience. Because his past was very open and full of lots of partners. So, you know, kind of being guided by his wants and needs and not so much by me figuring things out, you know, kind of what I wanted. So those were the early days. I always say, though, my faith, I asked Jesus to be my savior when I was a child, probably around the age of 8 or 9. So I've always looked at my life as being very spiritually guided, and that was always my saving grace of having this kind of, guiding force that's always followed me. But unfortunately, because that relationship with Jesus is great, but then there's the religious side that comes into things, and religion is not always the same as that relationship with God and Jesus. And so a lot of the religious side of things, I lived in like this constant struggle, I feel like, just because I wasn't married and I was exploring sexuality, and religion says that's bad. But then I also still felt like, okay, I know that Jesus forgives me and I'm a child of God. And so it was always kind of this like struggle back and forth of feel it being okay and exploring, but on the other hand, being like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. So that was, pretty much what led me from my childhood into my teen and early years. And I was actually a pretty young mother too. So I had a child fairly early in the mix. I was 18. And so then, of course, that shifted the dynamic of my life in general. So yeah, that was kind of my early history and upbringing.
That kind of internal tug of war is so hard, where you want to follow these teachings that you know to make sense and sort of intellectually, and then that shame you can feel when you feel like, well, I'm not following those guidelines, and then you're struggling with, okay, but God is love and God loves me, and it's just like, it's so wild. And when we have nobody to talk to, like, I'm guessing you didn't have anyone to talk to about that sort of internal battle you were facing.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't grounded in the church. I had my faith, but growing, my mother kind of, we were in church at times and we were out of church at times. So I never had like a home church that I grew in and developed those relationships. And so I really didn't have like a great spiritual mentor to guide me in that. I didn't have good spiritual mentors in my life until I was older. But even with that, there's been a lot of times because I've spent my lifetime trying to really deconstruct a lot of that religious doctrine that isn't necessarily what the Bible teaches, like love God, love others. And it's just what man or woman has, the culture has put the connotation on what the Bible says or taken it and misconstrued it. And so I myself spent a lot of time really deconstructing that and working through it. But I did not really have someone to help walk with that or guide me out of it. Because even my first relationship, we weren't strong in the church. I didn't get strong in the church again until, funny enough, when I met and married my second husband. That's when we really started grounding back into faith, because his one requirement, or I should say, grounding back into church, his one requirement was he wanted to be married in the church. So I've said, like, it was God leading him that's where we our relationship started, and that's where our foundation was. So at the early days, it was just me trying to figure it out, and like you said, it was just okay, it's I'm from what I know and what I've learned, I'm bad, but on the other hand, God loves me and I love God, and that internal struggle.
I'm not Christian, so some of the vocabulary you use I'm not familiar with. Like, one thing I'm wondering, what does it mean to be strong in the church? Maybe you could help us and listeners who may not know that language.
So for me, being strong in the church is having a more consistent, like going to church on a more consistent basis, not just kind of popping in and popping out, becoming a part of the church, serving with the church, and having almost like that home base of, this is I'm part of this spiritual family in this church. And that doesn't always mean you stay with the same church forever, for me, because God will lead you different places at the appropriate time in your life. But just having that that desire and that drive to really just have like find that home and be at that home and be a part of that. You definitely, I've spent most of my life developing my faith and having a strong faith without that piece of it. But grounding myself back, like I find myself, if I get away from going to church on a more regular basis, I tend to kind of drift a little bit more. Whereas, if I have church in my life and I'm attending, then it means that I'm just more grounded in that and, staying in my faith. So.
How has your relationship with God and sex evolved over time?
Well, I would say I spent a lot of time feeling a disconnect just because of, again, the things that I learned and feeling like that shame and I'm doing something wrong. And so I'm apart from God and I'm separate from where I should be. And then I think, especially because my first relationship and having a child before we were married and then going through a divorce, like going through all of that, just there was this kind of separation. And then when I got remarried, I did spend a couple years, struggling with that and is, what does that mean? Because again, there's things that say if you're remarried, then that's sin and all of these. And trying to open up and be in this marriage where I really felt that's where God intended me to be, but then feeling like there was a sin component and working through all of that.
So hard.
And
It's
so
so hard. It's so hard.
it is. And just in terms of like my sexuality, I do think that that had an impact on it because when you feel like you're doing something wrong, it's hard to really open up. And my husband and I's relationship, to look back, I sit here and I'm like, okay, well, maybe some of the struggles we had were just, it was maybe mental blocks I was putting up because I'm like, oh, I'm remarried and I did this and I'm doing things right this time. But, just kind of that letting, I guess it took me a long time to just let go of that, like that shame piece and not stay stuck in it, knowing that if I've asked for forgiveness and I know that, everything in the Bible tells me I am forgiven. So now I can let go of it and I can move on and not keep punishing myself in some manner.
Yeah. Woo, it's I know what you're talking about. And it is a really tricky topic. It is, have you ever prayed while like being intimate with your husband?
We haven't. That is something, and I know that that kind of came up as like for me, that was something when we were talking about exploration dates or XDs as they're called in the program. It was one of those things where I've kind of, it's on, if I had a bucket list of things that I'd like to explore eventually, that's one of them. But honestly, I think the bigger thing is for both of us, it like praying together is like we're both very, yes, infantile in our religion with praying with each other and having that comfort, because prayer in and of itself is a very vulnerable thing to do. And it's very easy for me to, have my prayer time by myself and everything, even praying with my kids. And we've put the practices, since they were little, and we pray at bedtime. But it's just something my husband and I, for some reason, there's been this elephant in the room, I guess. So it is on my bucket list of something that I would like to explore. And it just, we haven't, there hasn't been one of our times together where I felt that that's where I wanted to go with it yet. It's in my mind, but I try not to put pressure and be like, okay, well, I have to do this, this, and this. And so it's in my mind of something that when the time happens and when it presents itself, I definitely do want to.
I tried it once because I was also dealing with a lot of shame. I'm a Baha'i, so sort of that's my faith practice. And we have some written prayers. I believe Christians have a few as well, and maybe other faiths. And so I just wanted to confront it. I wanted to just do it just as a an exploration of what feelings came up for me. Was it feelings like I was doing something wrong? Was it feelings that what my body was wrong? Was it feelings like, oh no, like there's this spiritual part of me and then there's this physical part of me and those two are not supposed to mix, you know? Or did I feel like because I was engaging in some bodily pleasure, then that was not, you know, holy or spiritual or godly enough? I mean, there's just so many reasons, and it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable, but it was so revolutionary. I felt like I was doing like a revolutionary act, you know? I'm like, screw you, all these messages that have told me these lies. Like, I am reclaiming this for me. It was almost like a moment where I was putting these separate pieces of me back together in a wholeness that I am physical, I am spiritual, I am mental, I am emotional, I am all these pieces, and they do not have to exist separately. They can be all together.
And that gives me great hope because my focus this year is I've really focused on the mental piece this past year. So this year I'm moving back into the physical and spiritual and like kind of integrating everything. So yeah, I think, you know, again, I think that there's going to be a time where it's going to present itself. Like you said, it's probably going to be very awkward, but I do want to tackle it.
Yeah, it just also made me think of how the framework of exploration dates. So I know we say XDs and exploration is on the podcast all the time, and I've gotten tired of explaining what they are, but just in case people are listening, I'll do one now. So exploration days are something we teach in Wanting It More, and it's a form of structured intimacy that provides a lot of safety and comfort, and there's sort of guidelines around it. So it's not just scheduling sex, it is a new framework. And these are done at least weekly or weekly with couples who move out of Wanting It More. So what I've seen recently is my prayer and meditation time with God is like an exploration date with God. And that's like almost another way. So I've brought God and spirituality into my sexual relationship and made that okay. And then I'm doing it like the other way now, where I'm bringing concepts of sexuality and concepts of pleasure and connection into almost like a sexual relationship with God. I know that sounds ridiculous, and it's not, because like we were created this way by our creator.
Absolutely. That's like to look at just like reading through the Bible and there's, you know, Jesus and the bride and like the Song of Solomon, if you read that. I mean, that can be construed so many ways, but it really gives a picture of what a marriage relationship is supposed like what God's intention of that is supposed to reflect. And it's not just bland and boring. There's a mutual respect, there's pleasure, there's connection. But it's, you know, it's not focused on the cultural message of this is what sex is. It's like kind of like you redefined for us in the program what sex is. It like it falls in line with what that picture is of it's not just about penis and vagina, and then you get to the goal. It's about exploring each other and getting to know each other and finding the connection and pleasure in that. So, you know, it really we kind of separate the two because culture makes it that way. But that's I in my belief, that's not what God intended at all. Like he wouldn't have made us and made our bodies the way he made them if that, you know, we were supposed to just be bland people and have this disconnect. So, as you know, especially in a loving marriage relationship. So.
Yeah, and I've even taken it, you know, because we have very narrow, like you said, definitions of what sex is and what's ex acceptable calling sex, you know, what's relevant. And I would say also we have pretty rigid definitions of what prayer and meditation are supposed to look like. Of course, it's going to depend on what faith tradition you follow. I know, like, if you're Muslim, then you have a certain, you know, certain prayer ritual and times you pray and certain sort of genuflections you follow. Same in my faith tradition. I know we have the Lord's Prayer and grace, and I'm trying to say Christian things that I don't know a lot about. So I won't pretend to know all faith traditions, but I'm imagining with meditation, with Buddhist practices as well. And I think we can get pretty rigid with them. And I know I had gotten pretty rigid. Like I had to sit, not that my faith dictates this, but I felt like I needed to sit a certain way. I needed my voice to sound a certain way. I needed to like close my eyes and be all spiritual. And to be honest, I was feeling the same pressure and obligation that I had felt with my sex life. And that doesn't lead to intimacy because that's what we want, right? Intimacy with our creator. And so I started to explore what would it feel like to get up and move while I'm talking to God or feeling God? What would it be like to doodle and draw out my prayers and color in with my millions of Sharpies that I am obsessed with? What would it be like to bring in like different smells with meditation and prayer or even music? Like, has this sparked like going through wanting it more? Have you been thinking about this at all moving forward?
I don't know that I've thought about it because, thankfully, because I have spent so long pushing back against like this is what your religion's supposed to look like. And, especially I've been blessed to be in more progressive churches when we've been in them. So, there's not a certain formula, the churches that we attend, there's not a certain formula you have to meet. It does help you be more open with what prayer looks like and what worship looks like and all of that. So I've been fortunate to be able to expand more in that and not feel like I don't have to sit a certain place and follow a certain formula. I can, sometimes my prayer time is on the porch. I've had prayer time on the trampoline in the backyard. I've had prayer time driving down the road. A song comes on. So I have been able to thankfully explore that more with my religious relationship and my relationship with God. But then it's funny because in my marriage relationship, because I'm more of a type A personality, it's like, okay, we're supposed to do certain things and we're supposed to, follow, check a box and do this, and this. So I have been more rigid in that until going through wanting it more and then opening up and learning, okay, we don't have to follow this specific formula. And being able to kind of tap, I've always been in tune with intuition and my spirituality, but then being able to pull that into my own body. And, it's funny because I've always had intuition, but during the program, focusing on that intuition in terms of what do I like? What do I feel I'm being led to? If I'm given two choices, which am I leaning towards? And leaning into intuition and like that whole other area to take away some of that rigid formula that I was trying to fit into.
And it would make sense it's harder to do in a sexual relationship because you have another person there and another person with their thoughts and desires and history and comments and communication and all of that. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, have you learned anything about how to follow your intuition? Like, what works, what doesn't? Maybe some things that we could leave our listeners with?
I think one of the biggest things was being able, and I guess I don't want to say being given permission through the course, but basically, saying I'm allowed to take time to listen to that intuition and tune into that, and not feel like I am doing things because, well, I have to take care of the kids or I have to take care of this, but just, okay, where am I and what am I feeling? That really did open up a lot for me. And then I will say it is a continual work though, because when you get so used to like doing things a certain way, I did not leave the program and say, okay, everything's fixed and here we go. It is a lifelong work, but it's a lifelong work that is so worth it. So I do find myself, with XDs when we do them, that, we're always, what have we learned? And it sometimes it takes me a couple of days to say, what have I learned? And, there's weeks where I'm like, I've learned that I am falling back into trying to worry about other things and not tuning into my intuition and what am I feeling? Do I want to, what explore or follow? And then not feeling bad about that if I'm, and really checking in constantly with myself, because it's so easy to say, okay, well, my intuition says this, but 2 minutes later, my intuition might be saying something different. So that constant check back in and, okay, how am I feeling? Do I want to proceed? Do I want to change? So it is really good to just be able to have that space, to really just hone that skill. And it's going to, again, take time, because it's very easy to fall back in old patterns, especially when you live in a culture, this is what we do, and you're. But I mean, even I guess as simple as trusting my intuition when, if my husband starts saying something that I'm like, this doesn't feel good, this doesn't feel safe, and knowing that if I let that continue and I don't trust that intuition, then it's going to set us back a little bit, because it's that the little things that can compromise safety is what we call it in the program. Some like a different term, but for safety has worked for us. So it compromises kind of my emotional safety, and it's those little things that build up. So not saying, oh, well, I'll just let it be, but saying, nope, my intuition is telling me, and I need to speak up, and then that following that intuition to speak up. So.
Yeah, that's a really tricky one. That's one that takes a long time to unlearn and learn, because there are fears, what may be the repercussions if I do speak up? And we're all with great husbands. Like, we can just assume that, they're awesome men. But they may be disappointed, and there are cultural messages that they've learned over the years about what they deserve, or what is their right, that they have to unlearn as well. Yeah, two things that I find the hardest when I'm following my intuition in the sex, and also my relationship with God, is number one, like, that's weird. Like, something like that's weird. Like, often I'll get like a hit to touch a certain body part, like stroke the bottom of my husband's feet, or the specific space between his earlobe and his neck, or to hum or sing or recite some poetry, or get in a very odd, strange position. Like, I found myself flopped over my husband's stomach the other day, and or even playing different types of music, and that can be such a judgmental moment. You're just like, oh, that's weird. I don't know if I can do that. Have you ever had a moment like that?
I don't, not so much the weird side of it, but I think this isn't enough, or I should be doing more. That's that I have had those moments. And
Yes.
then giving myself compassion and saying, it's okay. And this is enough, or asking for the reassurance that I need. I can't say anything weird, in not that I can think of, but we're still so new in the process. Like we're in the baby stages here,
Yeah.
since joining the program, because I look at like how long we have of the rest of our lives and how long it's been since the program, and I'm like, we're still in the baby stages here. So I'm sure there's going to be weird that happens at some point for sure.
Yeah, I may be in a different stage. I've been doing this for about 7 years now, so I may I'm in the weird stage. Yeah, no, I that's the same thing with when you get an intuitive hit to maybe stroke, I don't know, like my husband's palm or something, and it's bringing me tremendous pleasure, like, and connection, and I'm finding so much enjoyment in the texture and the warmth and the details of a hand with all the wrinkles and structure, and also the feelings I'm getting from the strength and protection and closeness I feel from his hand. Hands are so intimate and so special for me anyways. And then, of course, yes, you have that moment you're like, not only is this kind of odd, but this isn't sex. This isn't
Right.
sexual. This isn't intense enough. And I better move on to something more sort of genital focused for it to be legitimate. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then
another
say, I don't have to move on. Like, there's no expectation. And this is, you know, especially there's been weeks where I just have, you know, had high anxiety days or whatever. And to be able to just be like, show up the way I am and feel like, okay, this isn't enough to just feel connection and pleasure with just being held because that's what my body needs right now. But like you said, then it's like, but I feel like we should be doing, you know, something else and touching genitals and leading to some goal, and then just reassuring and saying, but this is enough. This is, you know, it doesn't have to fit a certain formula. And, you know, I guess thinking of it as being weird from what culture would say, like, oh, that's just odd. Like, that's not sex. What are you talking about? But, you know, knowing after going through the program, it doesn't matter what culture says, because this is what I need. And this is where our connection and pleasure is in this experience. So,
yeah. Another struggle I have, I wonder if you do as well, is intuition takes some time. Like, it's not a quick answer. And sometimes I really need to slow it down. And sometimes even just pause. Like, just, I'm like, I don't know where I want to head here. I don't know what I'm hearing. So I just need to lay here in bed next to you, maybe hold hands and just breathe and have a moment. Do you ever need to do that when you're in your flow?
Yeah, definitely. And even that is still a learning thing for me, because I'm a very productivity based person. So it's like, okay, I'm, you know, there's been a couple moments where I, you know, looking afterwards, I'm like, okay, what I have learned is, if I'm not sure, it's okay to take a pause and to say, okay, let's just hold on. And, you know, looking back on it and not feeling like it was anything that was pressured upon me, you know, in the moment I was checking in, I'm like, okay, it's fine. And we're going to continue. But then afterwards saying, maybe slowing down, and because I wasn't 100% sure with my intuition there. And so it didn't feel bad. So, you know, I continued, but maybe in the future, just, okay, we can go to reset position, or we can just, I can take a moment and say, okay, just hold on. And there have been times where that has happened extremely well. And I've been able to just say, okay, yeah, let me take a second and then evaluate and either proceed or change. And then there's other times where it's just like, okay, I don't really know. So we'll just, you know, say, I don't know what my intuition is, and we'll just keep going until I figure it out. So it is definitely a skill to hone and grow over time.
Yeah. And it's kind of exciting, because as we hone this skill, like we've explored today, it's applicable in so many areas of our life, including our relationship with God, the universe, creator, however you want to call it. And I'm learning recently with eating too. There's something called intuitive eating. And I'm like, this is basically my program, but for food. This is fantastic. So yeah, it's kind of neat. And it all ties into spirituality. I don't know, Laura, what your beliefs are, but I really do believe that intuition is an element of our soul, that it's our soul, our spirit that's speaking.
Yeah, I definitely, my beliefs are that the spirit is the helper. And so once you have that relationship, you have spirit, and the intuition piece is tying into, like, really just tuning into that. And, you know, where are you being guided? What is the direction? And, you know, and trusting, I think it's hard to trust yourself sometimes. And that's why intuition is so hard, because we live in a world where nobody knows what the final answers really are. So
tuning
humbling.
So humbling, eh?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely in my spiritual life. And I think that's why for me, spiritually, intuition has always been easy to say, okay, do I feel like I'm being led in this direction or that direction? But in my, because, you know, in faith, you're always kind of, you put others first, and you're, you put yourself on the back burner. So to then tie that into, kind of like you said, integrating the spirituality and the self, the physical, and finding intuition, not just like segmenting it to one piece, but putting it all together because it is a full part of all of you. So.
You mentioned that you are a kind of an A-type personality and you like to have productivity, and I'm similar, and that's interesting to have both of those, and it can feel like you're at war sometimes. Like, do we have our blinders on and we've got our list and we're getting it done and we're productive? Or are we sort of letting the wind blow us where it wants to blow us? You're laughing, so I assume that you are relating to
Yeah.
this.
Yeah. It depends on the day of the week as to which I'm like, oh, let's go with the flow. Wait, nope, got a list, got to follow it, got to do this. So.
Know. It makes for an exciting life, I figure.
Yep. Some days are lists and some days are just, okay, well, I know I have a million things to do and I'm too overwhelmed making a list. So we'll just go with the flow and see what happens.
I love it. And sometimes, exploration dates for me are like that. Some days I know maybe we have a shorter period of time. Shorter for me is like an hour, not three, like I prefer. And maybe I'm feeling particularly amorous that day, and so I'm like, I'm going in for an orgasm. Like, it is happening and we are going to do it this way. And this is going to be the way it happens. And some days don't at all. Some XDs are just very go with the flow, never know what's going to happen, find myself in some very interesting corners of the world. I was going to say corners of the internet. No, I'm not in corners of the internet, but like just
Do
very
not go
in
to
yeah very interesting like situations. So yeah, that's the spice of life. We're not always just one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Laura, thank you. This has been such a joyous, fun, interesting exploration into this world. Before we end, was there anything that you wanted to get to, but we didn't?
I would just want to say again, I know I've thanked you many times, but thank you for this program. It came at the right time for my husband and I. And it even like the exploration days are great and the connection that we have in those, but again, that's still a learning curve and there's still ups and downs. And like you said, some days it's like, okay, I know what I want. And other days it's just like a trial and error the entire time and sitting there going, okay, I don't know. But I think the bigger thing is just this opened up so much communication that we have been able to, we've always been able to talk, but not to the level we can talk now. And when something is bothering one of us, we're quicker to confront that and talk it out because we know like the basis of keeping the XDs and keeping them focused on that pleasure and connection is the work throughout the week of not just letting things fester, but confronting them as they come so that we can have like that base level connection. And then when we get to the XD, that just opens up so many more doors for us to explore. So the program was amazing on so, I can't even tell you, just so many levels. And we're so thankful for it, me especially, because it's just like before I did not know if there was ever a solution and felt like I was a problem, and going through this just changed everything. It changed, like, I know that I'm not a problem and I know I'm not crazy. And to be able to like tweak this area of our marriage that just was that friction and now have it be something amazing for the two of us to share, it's just the work you're doing is so awesome. So.
Thank you, Laura. That was really sweet and just lovely. The time went by too quick. I cherish these one-on-one conversations so much because I don't get it within the program. So thanks for spending this time with me, and thanks to everyone for listening right to the end, and I'll talk to you in the next one. Bye for now. If you've enjoyed this episode, I have a favor to ask of you. It's really hard to get the word out about a podcast about sex. What would really, really help is if you would leave a rating and a review. And I know that you get asked this all the time in different podcasts, but please, I beg you, it would really, really help so that more women who need this message will hear it. All you have to do is go into your Apple Podcast app. It's the purple icon. And if you go to the podcast page where it shows my face, and has a little button that says latest episodes. If you scroll down past the episodes and you get to a section called ratings and reviews, there's a little purple writing thing that says write a review. If you click on that, it will ask you to give it a 5 stars. Actually, you can put any stars, but 5 is what I would love. And put a title and then write your review. Thank you so much for supporting this little venture here, and I really am so grateful. If you are curious about wanting it more and how this program could help you want and enjoy sex more with your husband, and you feel like it may be a great next step for you, you can go to janetdentonhouse.com/wantingitmore to sign up for the wait list, to learn more, to see when we're running our next round. All right, that's it. I'll see you next one.